a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, powered by your friendly folks at collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It's I, Center Crow 2 on Twitter, at Center Crows on Venmo. To one side of me, absent this week, again, Ryan S. Stare. The S stands for, I guess, sleeping again? I don't know where he is. The other side of me, giving you that full four-pane ASMR that you pay extra for, coming through your ear holes live via the magic of Skype. It's the AU chief.
Tervertis.
Oh, I like that. Is that Dutch?
Finnish.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're doing there.
Not Finns had a pretty good outcome this week, right?
Finns had a good outcome after they almost killed a guy.
Yeah.
My kids are now both in the room. We'll talk a lot of soccer this week because Ryan's not here. But I think that we could start off with that Christian Eriksen, if you don't know what we're talking about, Christian Eriksen for Denmark, he's not like a random guy. He's one of the probably best players in the world.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players, too. He's a hard worker. He's not one of those dudes you see rolling around on the floor a lot.
And he plays for a fun team to watch in Inter. If you have ESPN Plus, Inter was a fun team to watch.
Rules. It's got another of my favorite players, Romelu Lukaku, on it. So.
We have that in common, that we're both massive Lukaku stands.
Yeah, I get irrationally angry when I see Everton fans on the Everton subreddit complaining about him, and I'm like, dude, he's the best player Everton has had probably in most of the people on that subreddit's life.
Since Wayne Rooney? My Everton fandom ended basically with Lukaku's absence. Like, that was the bridge too far, because I liked cheering for Everton, and then they got rid of Romelu, and I was like, this is it. I can't put up with the losses. And they get rid of the best player they had, the player that I really enjoyed watching the most. But anyway, Christian Eriksen, his teammate at Inter, suffered a cardiac arrest. I'm laughing only because it's just so wild, because this isn't 1990 or 1992 when, I think it was 92, when Hank Gathers passed away on a NCAA basketball court. This guy has gone through so many rounds of physicals in his life at this point. I'm sure Inter has put him through 100,000 physicals. He probably goes through it. He probably has an EKG twice a year.
And it's not like he's Wayne Rooney, which if you've ever seen Wayne Rooney and somebody told you, oh, he had a heart attack on the pitch, you'd be like, well.
Yeah, I mean, probably too many pies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a super fit dude. It's so incredible. And I don't want to pull the ESPN here, because ESPN really milked that thing for all it was worth.
They talked about it a lot. People wanted to blame them for showing it, and ESPN has no control over that. That's just the feed from UEFA.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. That's a really weird thing about international sports, is that everyone gets the same cameras.
Yeah.
No matter who you are. So
for instance, the Premier League has Premier League Productions or something like that is the name of the company that does all of the production stuff of it. And then the different networks have their own announcers. Sometimes they all use the same announcers for the certain games. It's just, it's just whatever commercials they want to throw on at halftime or whatever.
And then the graphics.
Studio.
You get to put your graphics on there that says NBC or whatever.
Well, that you get to put your logo on it. But the graphics themselves for Premier League are just Premier League graphics that they do.
You can be in Beijing or Boise, Idaho. It's the same feed. Yeah, I think it's also important we point out that Eriksen lived in no small part to the fact that he had a team of medical staff running towards him the second he hit the ground. and they immediately started CPR. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking about getting CPR certified, go ahead and get CPR certified. It doesn't cost you a lot of money, and it will it is proven to save people's lives. On a number, I've been CPR certified a number of times, and this reminded me that my certification had lapsed. And so now I'm looking into – actually, that event has made me like look into, all right, I need to get my CPR certification re-upped. But I will talk about the Euros. Well, I want to lead the show with soccer talk so that people who tune us out won't, because we're going to talk basketball after soccer. But soccer talk at the front of the show, because I want to ask you a question, Chief. We're going to go through the teams in the Euros.
Okay.
Okay. And I want you to rank them on a scale of 1 to 5. 5 being most Auburn.
Okay.
And 1 being not Auburn at all. And we're going to try to figure out which team in the Euros is the most Auburn.
Okay.
So I think that's important for Auburn fans who are trying to like maybe get into this. Sure. You're like, hey, I know the Euros are on every single thing, every channel I watch that has sports talking about the European Championships. Which team do I cheer for? I don't know where my heritage is. Because some people are like, well, my great-granddad was Italian, so I cheer for the Italian team.
Yeah, the Irish aren't in this tournament.
Yeah, the Irish aren't in this tournament.
Kind of stink at soccer.
Neither
overall.
Are the, anyway. The Porch Creek Indians. They didn't make the European Championship. So we're going to
work for them now.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Far out. So we are going to go through the countries of the Euros, and I'm going to ask you 1 to 5 how Auburn they are. So first, Azerbaijan, the capital city is Baku. How Auburn is Azerbaijan?
I'm going to say 1 being not Auburn, right?
I mean this as a footballing name, nation.
Right.
So like Azerbaijan as a nation might be Auburn as all get out. I don't know. But their soccer team is not.
I'm going to go with a 1 on this one. It's kind of a strange nation to begin with. Is it actually Europe? I don't know. But
yeah, it's close. It's part of the Caucasus region.
Yeah.
It's like a more Muslim Russia.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a good description.
But it's like if Russia and Bahrain had a baby, because there's a lot of like oil money and human rights violations that go on.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to all the Azerbaijanis listening to this who are mad at me for saying that, but it happens.
Well, it's also the country I think of when I see Zoljan symbols.
Sure.
In my head, I'm like, oh, Azerbaijan.
Is that where they're from?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so.
I believe it now.
Every time I see it, I think of it. I don't know why. It's an odd thing I know.
All right, next. So they're a 1. Belarus. Capital city is Minsk, if you don't know. As in the fake Seinfeld musical – Rochelle, Rochelle, the musical. Been a long way from Milan to Minsk.
Yes. As a footballing nation, I don't know. I'd say they might be.
I think they might be a 1 too.
I mean, as a nation, they're definitely 1. They're.
We have to remember that
we don't have a dictator here in the Auburn Opelika area.
We do, but he sells. His name's the Yellow Fella.
No.
We have to remember that Auburn is a have.
Yeah,
in sport.
That's true.
So
Belarus is not a have.
And this is a close one. I think you're going to rank these guys pretty high. From the capital city of Brussels, it is your favorite and mine, the Belgians. I love Belgium. They're the team that I cheer for usually in these tournaments.
Yeah, I love Belgium too. And well, I mean, we're going to be seen as front runners now because they are the number one team in the world.
Yeah, but they're the number one team in the world, but they've never won anything. And so it's tough to call them the favorites because no one's ever won anything.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to. Yeah, they haven't won anything. You're right.
But they're thought of as so good, not necessarily because of the strength of their history in this case, but because of singular talent. And you could make the case that when Auburn is good, it's not necessarily because of this great team, but usually we have the best player on the field.
True, but they have like multiple best players on the field.
They've got the best midfielder in the world, one of the best strikers in the world, maybe the best goalie in the world.
Maybe. It's funny because I don't watch La Liga, and La Liga gets so little coverage here that I forget all about him.
Yeah.
I can't say his first name. Courtois.
Thibaut Courtois.
Thibaut. There we go.
Maybe they're
the Florida of since they've got a Thibaut.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good – no, but like they're an interesting pick because the last Euros in 2016 – mm-hmm. They were the number one team in the world in FIFA rankings. Right. Everyone was like, this is the golden generation. If Belgium doesn't win it now,
they're not going to win it.
They're not going to ever win it.
Same story this time, too.
And now we're back. Yeah.
True now. And because Lukaku is in his prime right now.
Oh, yeah. He's better than he was somehow.
Yes.
People, De Bruyne people gave up is on in him. His.
Like, all these dudes are, like, the next time they will be on the downslope of their careers, the next Euros.
The next World Cup, maybe, even, in two more years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's only one more year.
That's right,
now.
Only one more year.
I'm going to go with a 4 on this one. I don't know if they're a full 5.
I like that.
But a 4.
Okay.
Your
next is from the capital city of Sofia, which means wisdom in Latin. Bulgaria. How are the Bulgarians on a scale of 1 to 5? How Auburn is Bulgaria?
Is there a 0?
Yeah, I think they're more than 1. All right, keep it moving. From Copenhagen. Let's go with Denmark. How Auburn is Denmark?
They're pretty Auburn,
pretty Auburn. I like that. I like the Danish team a lot, actually. Losing to Finland was a big deal. Like that, I really thought Denmark had that one in the back.
They got a lot of money. People don't think of them as being a super rich country, but they're pretty super rich because they too have some oil resources, and not that Auburn does.
Not like Norway, but yeah, Copenhagen definitely does.
Right. I had a pen pal when I was about 7 in Denmark.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I wish we had drops on this podcast because I would save that and play that randomly.
I hope that it was Christian Eriksen, but I think he's a little young.
How great would that be? You're like, Christian.
I can't remember.
I like Auburn, and I wish you'd come be the kicker for us, Mr. Eriksen.
Also, drummer of my favorite band, also from Denmark.
Really?
Lars Ulrich.
Oh, nice. Lars. Well-known good dude. Lars Ulrich.
Yeah, right.
All right. So I think, where do you rank them? I put them probably as like a 3.5.
3.5, yeah. That's fair enough. They haven't I don't know that they've won the Euros.
I don't think they have.
But they are they're a good solid they're never going to stink. They're never going to stink the joint up.
All right. Now, here's one that I think there is an SEC comp for them. That it's a 5 out of 5. But it's not Auburn. This is jolly old England. Capital's London.
Oh. I know where you're going.
Yeah. Chief, one of my biggest soccer pet peeves is that in this country, we are outrageously Anglo-centric with our soccer coverage. Oh. We only have people with British accents talk to us about soccer, and people – we watch the Premier League, number one, and people act as if England is the end-all be-all of the sport. Yeah. And England has not won a major tournament since 1966. They have never won the Euros. It's never happened. They won the World Cup in 1966.
They're the Georgia Bulldogs.
They're the Georgia Bulldogs of this competition. Like, meanwhile, this country has millions of fans who speak Spanish as a first language. Yeah. There is an amazing continent just to the south of us, predominantly Spanish-speaking, with a rich footballing heritage. I can't find a Argentinian soccer team game on television. I can't find any of those matches. But
it's I mean, you got to have BN Sports to watch La Liga.
You got to have BN Sports to watch La Liga. It's moving to ESPN Plus in the fall, by the way.
I'm gonna try to get into more La Liga. So I got a lot of players that I like, and I tried to be a Atletico Madrid fan, and then they sold my favorite player.
I have a Real Betis jersey.
Yeah, I've seen it
randomly, so that's my La Liga team. That's not Barcelona or Madrid.
My only beef with Atletico is that the red's a primary color. And I'm not a big red guy.
Speaking of red, England 1-5 on the Auburn scale.
I mean, they're the Georgia Bulldogs, so it's got to be a 1, right?
Yeah, it's a 1. Because London, I mean,
England, and they have so much talent.
They should win
it.
They should win the World Cup or be in the finals of the World Cup every single World Cup.
Yes. And where the game was created, and yet.
Well, and I think this year they actually do have talent. There's been years where they don't have talent.
Yeah.
And yet they're hyped up like they
Ross
do.
Ross Barkley was their best player at the World Cup. Like, yeah. That's bad.
That's when they're kind of the Texas of soccer. Yeah. No matter what, those guys' jerseys sell, yet they don't win games. All right, let's keep going to another team that I don't think is the Auburn of this, and that is the Germans. The Germans, with 4 stars on the shirt, a loss to France today. Yesterday, if you're listening to this tomorrow. But where is Germany on this? Because Germany has won this tournament a few times. Like 5 times, I think. And they've won 4 World Cups, which is the second most of any team.
Yeah. Boy. I mean, Auburn is definitely not Germany because they are dominant.
Yeah. Germany's the closest thing to maybe Alabama in this. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Germany is the Alabama of this. So I'd have to put them at a 1. Now as a footballing nation, you know, they love to get drunk and watch their football. So
do they put up giant screens in the middle of town and just open up pop-up bars for every single game?
Yeah. And it's very community based, which is their club football is very community based.
It is intrinsic to the community. Yeah, it's not
which is true.
Franchise based. It's more like Auburn than Alabama in that it's more of like a community and not about
They are very serious about their national team, whereas England is not. Which how could you be? I mean. Maybe the Georgia Bulldog fans could take a cue from England people. At least the people that root for Everton like really do not care like about international football. Not in any sort of real way.
Right.
They can care less. Probably because they suck. But, you know.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too that Germany everything is built around that national team succeeding. Even like their club team and their league, the Bundesliga,
right,
is built in a way to promote German players getting development and playing in order to win. It's pretty pretty nuts.
Former USA coach
Jürgen Klinsmann
was a big part of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Structuring of that and getting them to where they are.
Sorry, they're 3-time European champions, and they are 4-time World Cup champions and 1-time Confederations Cup champion, whatever that is.
They're as close to the Alabama of European football as you can get, I think. That's true.
All right, so they're probably like a 1. I wish we were more like them. But in a lot of ways, maybe they're – actually, you know what? I would say they're more of a 2 because we talked about the community base.
Right.
Whereas, like, it's all about that, but at the same time, like, it's more than that. Like, it's more than just the game. It's
right.
You go to the beer stand, or you go to the Currywurst stand, and you get a sausage and a beer, and you watch the game with everyone in the town, whether they care about football at all. They're all watching it. I think that's kind of a very similar thing to Auburn. Another team that's not Auburn at all, though, is Hungary.
Yeah. not Auburn at all. That's another one.
It's a one. Israel. They're probably also a one. Very religious. So there's that. Maybe they're a little higher.
they're more like Missouri in that, what are they doing here? Mm-hmm. Except for the teams that they would play. Yeah. The teams that they would play normally in the past would have refused to play them.
And also would say, what are they doing here?
Yeah. Sure.
Italy. This is a good one. I think Italy's close. Italy's got one of those. I think Italy's a team that could go high on the how Auburn are they rankings. Because Italy's had some success, has also failed to qualify for a World Cup recently.
I'm going to go with a four. If this were still 2006, I would have gone with a five. But I'm going with a four. Simply because it's the most defensively minded team in this thing. Although they went wild goals.
Yes, they're always a very defensively minded team, which is interesting because it's not like you don't think of that as an Italian trait,
right?
In soccer, but it is. Apparently, their national team has always been about goalies and defensemen.
Yeah,
I wish they still had Mario Balotelli, though. Not the chef.
So, being that we're both appreciators of Dortmund,
yeah,
it will be. What do you think about Ciro Immobile, man? I thought he was gone. I thought he was done.
I think he was done too.
And now he's just going nuts.
Yeah, I wish we could. I wish we could get him back.
Yeah. Right.
Italy's also a four-time World Cup champion, just like Germany, but only a one-time European champion way back in 1968. They were runners-up in 2000, 2012. But again, they've also failed to qualify for a World Cup recently. In 2018, they didn't qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah. The same time that the U.S. did.
So I think
It was us, Italy, and Peru.
There's a couple. There's Peru. Peru didn't qualify, and also the Netherlands.
Was it Peru? It wasn't Peru. It's where? Chile?
Chile.
Yeah, Chile.
Yeah, because what's his name didn't qualify.
Yeah.
So Italy, I think, is one of my highest. I'm going to give them like a four as well. Okay. The four World Cups makes me not give them a five because Auburn had one.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
they've won the same as Germany.
Right.
Maybe they're like more like a Notre Dame in that they're like, what are you guys?
Yeah. Notre Dame. I don't know. Maybe the Italians are the LSU of this thing.
I could see that. There's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
All right. Macedonia. There's a zero.
I mean, they conquered the world at one time, but.
I think they're actually officially called North Macedonia in this.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. I don't.
Because Greece does not want them to call themselves Macedonia.
Right.
So the nation of Macedonia has basically been like threatened by Greece to change its name. And so it's calling itself North Macedonia.
What's Greece going to do?
Who knows, man? It's very bizarre.
Are they going to go bankrupt them too? Like, what?
North Macedonia is officially. The Republic of they're Macedonia until February of 2019. They're officially called Republic of North Macedonia.
Wow.
They changed their names like pretty recently.
Yeah. You got a really rad flag.
Really rad flag.
I had an English professor from Macedonia,
mm-hmm.
Which was cool. He always had to explain to everyone where that was and where he was from. Taught at Stony Brook and graduated from there, I believe.
Oh, nice.
So.
Well, it was part of Yugoslavia. And then after the breakup of Yugoslavia, it changed its name in 91 to the Republic of Macedonia. And then Greece was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't call yourself that. That's us.
Wow.
I don't know. And so then they made an agreement where they changed their name. And after
the Greeks, man. I guess when you've got nothing else, you try to hold on to something.
People are going to be confused that you guys were Alexander the Great. All right, so now another team that I think is high on the list of the most Auburn is the aforementioned the Netherlands, the Dutch, the
Orange. Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
they might
five.
Be they might be the five actually. Yeah,
the five. I mean,
because
the greatest uniforms of all time.
100%.
I mean, just the perfect. It's orange and navy, and it's beautiful.
Yep.
I remember it was probably the 2014 World Cup. I was like, wait a minute. Their flag doesn't have those colors. What's going on here? And it's a whole royal thing.
The royal family's color. And yeah. The same with Italy, where it's blue because it's royal family. And
they have this sweet lion crest, which is just awesome.
Very easily could be a tiger.
Exactly.
If you look at it the right way.
Oh,
yeah.
It's perfect.
Het Nederlands Elftal, the Dutch 11, the Oranje. It's a they're a comp for all in a lot
yeah.
of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've never won a World Cup. They've been runner up three times.
Yeah.
74, 78, 2010. They've
yep.
missed a World Cup on a number of occasions. They have won one European championship. And guess when it was, Chief? It was in the 80s. Auburn's decade, quote-unquote, decade of dominance.
There we go.
And they were runner-up in the Nations League, whatever that is, 2019. I'm still not 100% sure what that is. Is that thing they made up last year?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was. Yeah, it's the same thing that the U.S. just won the CONCACAF Nations League.
Yeah, exactly. No one has won more CONCACAF Nations League.
I know.
Very important for us to think
won
about.
Won way
that.
More than Mexico.
Oh, 100%
more than
yeah.
Mexico. Mexico's never won one.
Divide by zero, man. They've never won one. yeah, if you're looking for a team to support in the Euros, it's the Dutch.
They're missing their best player. That's the only issue here. Virgil van Dijk is not.
Yeah, but then you get to blame. You have an excuse when they don't win it, which Auburn fans love an excuse.
It's true. That's true. Yeah.
Kerryon Johnson got hurt, man. Otherwise, we would have won the national championship 2017, man.
It's the same excuse Liverpool used all year, actually.
It's the same guy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Memphis playing. Is Memphis to play to pay
yeah.
playing? Okay, good.
Memphis playing. When
his name's Memphis, and that's great.
Yeah, Memphis Depay. Giorgio Wijnaldum, who's a good player, is playing for them as well. Stecklenburg, recently former Everton goalkeeper. Everton
yeah.
has three goalkeepers in this tournament. Stecklenburg, Jordan Pickford, and I just forgot his name.
What's the guy for Juventus who plays for the defender for the – this is De Ligt?
Oh.
I think that's right.
Maybe, yeah.
That's it. I'm looking at it right now.
Man, my mind, I just blanked.
Their
on
defensive team is usually, if they had Big Verge, they would be
yeah.
pretty un. You couldn't score on them.
Yeah.
They're all like, they also have, I still call it Ajax. They would call it Ajax.
Yeah.
A lot of their dudes play for Ajax. Ajax is an amazing team to support if you are looking for a European team to. Club to cheer for.
They have an incredible youth system there that has produced all these crazy talented dudes.
They don't sign all the five stars. They just coach them up, Chief. They coach
yeah.
them up.
Well, Everton signed their guy that was responsible for all that, and 2 years in, it's not really showing any. He was there like 20 years or something.
We basically don't even need to read the rest of these countries because Ireland, Romania. Russia, Scotland, Spain, Sweden, Wales. No, none of those are close to the Dutch.
I mean, I might argue for Sweden because they got a lot of nice looking people in the stands, and
that's
I think
true.
Auburn has a lot of nice looking people.
They don't have the success though. The Netherlands has that success, or if not success, the Netherlands in a tournament is never. You can't ever count them out. You can always go, well, the Dutch could win this thing.
Yeah. Well, one other note on Sweden, while he's not playing in this tournament, they do have Europe's Charles Barkley and Zlatan. He's their most famous player.
He is the most offensively arrogant person. I kind of like it.
Yeah, Barkley's not that. Well, actually, he does. He actually reminds me of Charles Barkley from like 1990.
One of my favorite Zlatan quotes was when he was signed by the LA Galaxy of the MLS. He said LeBron had just signed for the Lakers. And he said that the LA just signed a king. And that's funny because they already had a god. Talking about himself. They're like, he's this guy. And he said that like to the media. Like, yeah, I need to call a press conference real quick and talk about how I'm a god. And he like has this huge beef with Pep Guardiola because he didn't think he could coach him very well. And like, dude, he's the best coach in the world.
Yeah.
It's not really his fault.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. He chose Messi over Zlatan because Messi's the best player maybe ever. I'm looking right now at Netherlands away jerseys. The away jerseys are navy blue, guys,
yeah,
with a collar, a polo collar. You could wear it to a tailgate. They are navy blue with a Nike check and an orange lion that nobody would bat an eye if you told them it was a tiger.
Tell them it's a tiger. That's what it looks like. Big cat. That's all you need.
It's awesome. Get you an away Netherlands jersey with no number on it for $90. And that's your that's your tailgate shirt.
A little pricey. Better buy them now. They go quick.
Yeah.
I tried to buy some after the World Cup last time, and it was
– Oh, yeah. They're already sold out of XL on worldsoccershop.com.
No, that's a shame.
But they're saying this is black, but I'm looking at it. It doesn't look black to me. All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back. We'll talk hoops. And we're back.
How many people do we think are still with us at this point? I guess you could fast forward those. So.
You could fast forward through soccer talk, but I hope you didn't. I mean, it's a major thing. There's nothing else going on.
At all.
I think that most angry I got was the other day when I realized the Braves weren't 500 and everybody was tweeting about it. I was like, guys, the amount of tweets and wasted time you guys have done on a team that isn't even any good. It's like, just say, hey, season's over. I'm not worried about this team anymore. Look, that's what I've done with the Rangers. You don't see me tweet a bunch of Rangers tweets. I know they're terrible.
I'll check back in with the Braves towards the end of the season and see where we're at. See where we're at.
I'll tell you where they're at. Probably about 8th.
Could be. They've had some injury issues too. It would be a tough ask to do anything with that roster right now.
You sound like a Dutch fan. Look at you. All right, so we're doing a little basketball because we've got a couple of things that have happened recently. One of them is former Georgia Bulldog, current Auburn Tiger, Kate Johnson, has officially signed and is on campus.
Yep, today as we record.
Yeah.
About 4 days ago, as you listen to this, depending on when Jack gets the episode out.
He might have transferred again by then.
Yeah.
He won a lot of Auburn fans by Instagramming that he was giving away Georgia merchandise for free. was so funny to me. I don't know why. Like, of course he was. Like, what else would he do with it? Like,
yeah, he can't sell it because the NCAA will come after him, right?
Yeah.
So stupid.
And he got a ton. I'm sure he has like 15 pairs of sneakers he could get rid of. Anyway, so he's on campus. The big news from today was the National Basketball Association released its combine invite list. And guys, I think your Auburn Tigers might have had more players invited to the NBA combine than the NFL combine this year. There was no NFL combine this year, though, is the joke. There were two Auburn Tigers invited to the NBA draft combine, which is incredible. Like, I don't remember the last time we had that. Well, and they were both freshmen. Mm-hmm. I mean, never have happened, to be honest with you.
It's incredible that those guys have moved up, or especially Thor, who was, I mean, a couple weeks ago, not anywhere near a draft board.
I didn't see him on anybody's draft boards back in when he first declared. I was like, I haven't seen him on a single draft mock. Well, I mean, I had seen Alan Flanagan on draft boards. I had seen even like other guys on the team on draft boards earlier in the year. Thor never was on a board that I looked at, and all of a sudden he declared, and I'm like, well, okay, that's it. But then, I mean, I understood it at the time because he's 6'10" and can run and can shoot and can jump, and like he's an athletic, lanky guy with a 7'3" wingspan or whatever. He's the same height and weight as Giannis was when he came in the league. So there's going to be guys who see that and are like, okay, well, that guy's the two-time MVP of the league. If he can even be a third of that, we've got something special.
Yeah.
And the other was Sharif. I think everybody from about the every serious basketball fan from about the third game Sharif played probably was like, oh, he could probably go one and done.
Right.
Maybe not he should. Maybe not even he will.
Exactly.
But a lot of – most everybody was like, oh, he probably could. Like, he could probably get drafted. But not only could he get drafted, by being invited to the combine, the NBA is kind of saying, like, hey, a bunch of teams are wanting to get a look at you. Mm-hmm. Get your height and weight. Get you in a closed system and actually see you get measured. And I think – I don't think Sharif is going to be the combine freak that Thor – I think Thor's going to be a person that you see tweets from non-Auburn people like, this kid, J.T. Thor, just jumped this vertical, or he's 6'10" and he has this wingspan. The other thing about it is that I thought was interesting is in the announcement, the NBA usually announces guys' full names. JT stands for JT. As far as I have not been able to find what his name is.
It's got to be something Thor. It has to be.
It is J.T. Thor, and J.T. is his name. J period T period. That's it.
Okay.
I haven't looked. I haven't found it anywhere. If you were listening to this podcast,
I went to church with someone whose middle name was B, just the letter B.
That's so good.
He was a older doctor, and he used to get people like, can you guess my middle name? And you know, people go on guessing and be like, nope, it's just B.
It's just B. Thanks, Doc. I just need you to. Sign
that was
off on
a terrible me. Impression of Dr. John B. Isbell, whose grandson listens to this show.
Oh, great.
He's a great man, and we lost him last year, unfortunately.
Well, shout out to his grandson. Yeah. If anybody listening to this can tell me what JT stands for, JT Thor, I'll Venmo you $3. Because at the moment, I don't think it's for anything.
I think it's... His first name starts with a J, and it's Thor. But, I mean, who knows?
JT Thor, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's probably watching Naruto.
Yeah, he's a big Naruto fan. So, I think there's a really good chance. As a matter of fact, I tweeted about it today. I think that there is I'm getting this suspicion from looking at draft boards and reading people's mock drafts that Auburn's going to have – there's a really good chance that Auburn has two players drafted in the top 20 of the NBA draft, and both of them are one and done. Now, Auburn hadn't had a one and done player ever until Isaac Okoro.
Yeah.
And they're about to have two go in the first round of the same draft, and that is wild.
It is pretty wild. I mean, one and done's only been around, what?
While, longer than you think.
Not quite 20 years, almost, though.
Yeah.
I mean, not that guys – I mean, there were guys that did it before, but it wasn't that common. And it wasn't a forced thing, obviously. Right. Yeah, but I mean, it's still impressive. I mean, because Alabama had multiple until now.
So, if you had told me that Auburn was going to have – when Bruce Pearl was hired, if you had told me that, Auburn will go to a Final Four – and have a run of three straight years with a first round draft pick and one of those years with two.
It's incredible.
I don't think I would have believed you. Like, I've been like, well, that seems like best case scenario.
I mean, we're going to have four first round draft picks in 3 years if that happens. That's just wild.
Yeah.
I mean, to have four guys picked in the NBA draft in 3 years, to have four guys picked in the NBA draft in 10 years is just, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't have ever guessed. I just expected Bruce to make us competitive, and he's done something a lot more than that.
Oh, for sure. I want to read Sharif Cooper's mock, his like draft profile in The Ringer by Kevin. I think Kevin O'Connor does an incredible job. When his comes out, I usually am like,
pretty good, yeah.
Like, all right, this guy's. And he doesn't just like take shots at guys. Like he usually, if it's a minus, he kind of tells you why it's a minus instead of just like, he stinks at throwing the ball to the other team. He's one of the best passers in the draft, makes pinpoint deliveries using either hand on lobs, kickouts, or drop offs. Loves to use subtle feints and fakes to draw defenders out of position that makes the pass. I think the best thing he says about him actually is he says he is a slippery ball handler who can suddenly shift directions to get where he wants on the court. And I think if you watched Auburn last year, the one thing you could think about Sharif is he basically gets wherever he wants to get.
Yeah.
Like at no point does it seem like he's having a hard time getting wherever he wants to get. But his negative would be he's an uncomfortable three-point shooter, he says. Like, that's the thing. It's not that he's a bad three-point shooter. He doesn't look like he wants to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not what he's interested in doing. Which, again, I mean,
He's tiny. That's the other coach that minus. The other minus is that his tiny frame makes it.
Tiny dude.
Is he going to be able to handle the physicality of the NBA? And he takes unnecessary risks as a passer. But here's the thing. That's my favorite part about Sharif Cooper. If he didn't take unnecessary risks, I wouldn't care about Sharif.
It's true.
I love that he is willing to throw an alley-oop from across half court. Whether
the fact that they work most of the time is what's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, those risks. Yeah. I mean, that became my biggest concern. Not that part. The withstanding the physicality of the NBA. Now, I will have a small caveat there. I had the same concern with Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is an incredible, incredible shooter, the best shooter that's ever lived. And that helps him. That has helped him overcome any size issues. Also, he bulked up some since getting
in. And he switched to from being the 20th most important player on Nike to being Under Armour's only guy.
Yeah.
And they developed shoes to help him quit twisting his ankle because he had famously terrible ankles.
Right.
When Steph got in the league, it was like, all right, this guy cannot stay healthy because his ankles are terrible.
Yeah.
I think that's a good comp in that they have a similar height and weight, and they play the game very differently, where Sharif wants to get somebody else to score 30, and Steph is more than willing to just shoot it from the timeline every time he comes out the court.
Yeah. He's very,
but they both can get wherever they want.
Yeah, he's more of a Jared Harper in that regard than Sharif.
Yeah, I would say that. I think that's a good comp too, Jared Harper. I think it's interesting that Jared didn't get any run for the Knicks this year.
Yeah,
but yeah, we'll see. I think Sharif is going to be the last pick in the NBA first round of the NBA draft, according to CBS. And they don't have Thor going in the first round. Hmm. But I've seen
I think it's Tankathon that Thor shot up on. I think
Tankathon has him super high. And I'm not 100% sure what that's
about. Like
that. I'm not 100% sure what that's about. But there is a greater than zero chance Auburn has two top 20 picks.
Yeah. I've long believed that some NBA GM is just, they're going to see Thor and they're just not going to be able to resist.
No.
That's the whole thing with him. They're going to see him. especially if they get, you know, see him in person at this combine, and they're just not going to be able to resist picking him.
I think KOC on the Ringer has Sharif at like 19 to the Knicks, which would be a hilarious, hilarious thing for old Jared Harper. Just
Jesus,
just keep drafting point guards and not playing them from Auburn. It'd be interesting. I would rather him go to the Clippers, where I've seen him comp to, because I think, and I'm talking about this to you off the pod, but like for me, Sharif is the appeal of Sharif to an NBA team is, what could this guy do when he's not having to be the entirety of the offense? Because at Auburn, he was, not that other guys couldn't score, but it felt like when he was on the court, it had to be everything about Sharif. He had to either score or assist on every single bucket, much like what Luka was having to do for the Mavs this year. But if you could take Sharif and put him on a team where he's not going to be double teamed ever, like they can't trap him. If you're on the Clippers, you can't trap Sharif at cross half court because Kawhi is going to be open or Paul George. Like there's too many other guys. I think I think that's the team. I think the Clippers, a team that has two studs that's drafting in the back half of the first, like maybe the Los Angeles Lakers. Could pick up a Sharif. I mean, Lakers getting Sharif would be, I don't know if they have a first this year, actually. They may have traded this year's first for Anthony Davis, which I would trade Sharif for Anthony Davis.
I don't know. We don't know how Sharif's, you know, how he would hold up in the NBA, but I mean, couldn't be worse than Anthony Davis, who seems to be hurt all.
But they already won a ring with Anthony Davis, so they can already say, unless Sharif can get us two rings,
it's worth it. That's right.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think that Thor is going to be better on a team where he doesn't have to carry a bulk of an offense, but also is able to do his crazy defensive things.
Yeah, I think Thor's a guy that. It might be 5 years before we see him really, you know, become what he can become. So, you know, there may be people that think, oh, that was a disappointment. That was dumb for him to leave or whatever. But
because for every Giannis Antetokounmpo, there's a Thon Maker.
Yeah,
because Thon Maker was thought of as like. This guy he's very similar to Thor, where everybody's like, this guy is a freak. He's so tall, so skinny, but can run and jump and shoot threes. I think he's out of the league. Like, I really don't think he's on a roster right now. And he's only been in the league for 5 years. Yeah. So the difference in those two guys is how much do you work? How much do you train? Which team did you go to? You know, a little bit of luck. And Giannis and Thon went to the same team. So then it's like you went to the exact same team. One guy's career flourished and one guy's didn't. So it's a lot of fit and a lot of work ethic.
Now, one guy did grow like 4 inches, right, after he got in the league, right? It's crazy.
Thon has a brother, I think, Maker, who I think is going to next year. He last played for the Cavs, the Sad Sack Cavaliers.
Yeah, Giannis has three brothers, right?
You don't want any of those guys getting drafted by the Cavs.
No.
That's my hope.
The Cavs, the Knicks, I don't really want anybody getting drafted by the Knicks. I know they've done well for themselves this year, I suppose, but it's not really an organization that I have a lot of faith in.
No. Well, that's all we have. If you have any thoughts or questions about this episode, please feel free to reach out at Ryan S. Starrett on Twitter. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so at College and Mag on Twitter. We are also starting a Discord pretty soon. If you're still listening to this and you want to be involved in Discord, also, if you're still listening to this and your name's Lydia Jones, just know that I got a bucket hat at Costco for like $9, and James can pick one up too at Costco for $9, and it's Fila. So it definitely
running with the big dogs.
It definitely makes you look like you've seen both sides of a seedy casino in the south of France.
Just put some. It's very Nick Papagiorgio vibe.
Yes, absolutely. You put this on and look like you can spend tens of dollars that you might have stolen in credit cards. All right. Well, yes. We will see y'all next week. I'm trying to figure out a way to make this to broadcast this live too for the tweets for people who want to watch this.
I forgot about it.
All right. Everybody else, have a War Eagle weekend.